Good morning, everyone. I'm going to call to order the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee for the 29th Alaska State Legislature. Today is January 29th, 2016. We're meeting approximately 7:30 in the morning in the House Finance Chambers in Juneau. I am Representative Mike Hawker chairing, and Mr. Secretary, sir, it's good to be sitting at a table with you instead of being the voice in the sky. But Mr. Secretary, sir, if you could call our roll, please.
Senator Stedman. Here. Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senator Diesel.
Here.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Kelly. Senator McKinnon.
Here.
Representative Keto.
Here.
Representative Olson. Representative Thompson.
Here.
Representative Pruitt. Representative Newman. Chair Hawker.
I present. So with six members present at the moment. Seven members present. We have a quorum to conduct business, as we do have membership from both the House and the Senate present. We have a routine order of business to commence with, and that would be our approval of minutes from the past two meetings. And it's always good to have you here with us, Madam Vice Chair, and if you would do the honors, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the minutes from the LBNA meetings on November 17, 2015 and December 7, 2015 be approved as presented.
So the question before the committee is the approval of the November 17th and the December 7th, 2015 minutes. Is there objection? Hearing seen none, those minutes will stand approved. Thank you very much. And again, something we don't often do often enough, but we really thank our committee secretary for maintaining and doing the work on these minutes. It's that behind-the-scenes work that, I really appreciate how much goes into those. We thank you very, very kindly for the quality of work you do for us. We've really got one item of business before us today, and that is, as we are commencing the legislative session, and one of the big topics, of course, in front of the legislature this season, and notice I said season, not session, will be the continued consideration of both oil and gas tax and related issues to our revenue stream, and also the potential of bringing forward all the contracts and the working documents that are necessary to move forward with an Alaska North Slope natural gas pipeline, the AKLNG project from the state side. In the past, our economic and analysts analysis consultants have been in the firm called Analytica, and we have used them, I think, quite successfully in recent years. And their contract with us expires this coming January 31st. And of course, talking with the finance chairs, Senator, some of the finance folks, particularly the resources chairs on both sides and leadership, I think there was a fairly significant interest in continuing and renewing that contract with Analytica. That'd be Mr. Nikos and Mr. Savos, and what we are here today to do is consider renewing that and then certainly take a vote. And if we choose to renew that contract for this session, we'll take a vote on that today. This contract was basically put together by the previous legislative council under Senator Fairclough. The proposal, and Jenik and Nikos are quite willing to renew this on largely the same terms. But if I could ask my aide, Ms. Rena Delbridge, to give us sort of the walkthrough and update of the dialogue you've had regarding the potential renewal here, and just fill the committee in on kind of where we've been, where we're at, and where we're going to be going there. So, Ms. Delbridge, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. For the record, Rena Delbridge, staff to Representative Hawker. Yes, I have worked with Mr. Mayor and Mr. Savos with Analytica to discuss continuing our relationship with them. This is essentially a contract renewal. Of course, we had individual contracts, one each with Mr. Mayor and one with Mr. Savos. In, I believe, October, last year they formed a corporation, and in October we approved a novation that sort of redirected those two contracts into the new Analytica entity that they formed. So to that extent, instead of a simple renewal, we actually redrafted the contract to have it with Analytica instead of trying to figure out the mess of renewing two individual contracts and a novation. To that end, this new contract, again, as the chairman said, is essentially on the same terms. You will see a dollar amount change because we've combined the dollar value of the two individual contracts into one contract. Likewise, similar with the novation agreement that everyone approved, we've doubled up then on things like the days worked under the retainer. And so we would have the services of Mr. Mayor and Mr. Safos through the next year for a retainer of $20,000 per month. In that, we would receive 10 days of work per month from these gentlemen, specifically from those two individuals by name. At this point, they have not expanded to add employees to their new entity, Analytica. If that comes up in the future, we can renegotiate rate structures for other individuals within the firm.
Before you go on, could I ask just to interject there in regards to the retainer concept? I know we did the research, and could you just validate for the committee that we, in fact, did utilize our retainer services the last billing cycles?
Of course, Representative Hawker. There was perhaps 1 month, 2 months within the year that Analytica did not have work from the legislature to fill those 5 days each for the individuals, which of course now is 10 days for Analytica. Most every other month, either via requests for reports that help guide the legislature through some of its policy decisions or specific analysis presence here in Juneau, we were able to make full use of those days that come under the retainer.
Thank you.
Yes. We were able to slightly restructure the concept of the retainer plus the days per month that come with the retainer. Now, instead of 10 days per month, Analytica has agreed to essentially roll over any unused days from 1 month to the next on a capped at a quarterly basis. So, for example, if it's May and the legislature is not in session and we have 5 days of work for them, we can roll those other 5 days over to be used sometime within June or July. That was a benefit that they were willing to bring to the table to work with us there. Other than that, there's a few, you know, when we restructure the contracts, a few legal changes, word choice or whatnot, that are really just technical.
Well, thank you very much. So I guess at this point, open the potential of reauthorizing this contract to the committee for discussion. And Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Ms. Delbridge, does that mean that Analytica gets paid regardless of whether they use those 5 or 10 days, or do they have to provide work for the legislature to receive their payment for that month?
Representative Keto, through the chairman, they receive the retainer as agreed to in the contract regardless of whether or not the legislature has specific work requests for them. Within that retainer per month, it comes to us with 10 days of work product that are not charged in addition to the retainer. This has been a framework that seems to be working fairly well. We've been able to keep Analytica working for the legislature on tap for any special items that come up, educational symposiums to further enhance understanding of AKLNG, items like that, without them I'm trying to figure out how to say this. There's always the risk, if we don't maintain a retainer relationship with someone, that they will need to pursue other clients. They may pursue other clients in addition, but this helps maintain their work status for readiness for the legislature.
And that's where this is a truly very standard retainer type. There's nothing about this retainer relationship that is in any way unusual or not in ordinary business practice of these sort of people who have to make the commitment of time and are then unable to secure other clients when they have to be on call for us. And that's really been the driving force behind the retainer concept as it was originally negotiated. Senator Stedman, then Senator Giesel, were you on that list? Okay.
We'll just go around
the room. Yeah. Senator Stedman.
Chairman Hawker, just a couple quick notes. I think we're light on consultants. Normally, I think historically we've had a few more. I know Roger Marks, as we spoke before the meeting casually, that Cherie's standing by and available to help us from time to time over the years like he has in the past. But I think we need to be careful with our toolbox. We don't end up with no tools in it. And this firm, as an example, if we were to not have anybody on retainer and need somebody, it takes them a while just to come up to speed with the mechanisms and the complexity and the history of our structure. It's not something that is very clear-cut, to say the least. So I think it's a good practice that we, you know, retain people so when we have an issue, we don't have to go through the, you know, 2 or 3 month wait while they build a model to figure out our cash flow and our tax structure.
I agree completely with your concerns there, and actually I'd kind of like to take that subject up on additional resources that we may feel are necessary and appropriate and represent an essential spend for the state of Alaska as a item of business today, potentially under other committee once we take a look at Janik and Nikos. But again, very much agree. I'm speaking for myself. We're looking at one of the world's largest mega projects in the gas line, and we're looking at the lifeblood of the state of Alaska in our oil and gas tax system. These are critical issues, and I firmly believe we owe it to the public of the state of Alaska to have adequate, qualified resources available to us as we need them. I concur completely. Senator Bishop, sir.
Thank you. I have a question and a comment, and the questions to Ms. Delbridge. If you could go back and tell me, I thought I heard you say, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I thought I heard you say we could roll up unspent days and carry forward. Is that correct?
Senator Bishop, through the chair, yes. Representative Hawker had asked that we, understanding budgetary needs here and such things, try and find a way to make more full use of every retainer day possible. And Analytica was very accommodating in agreeing to that. So essentially, instead of those days that are unused just going away, they're willing to roll those forward. We capped it at a quarterly basis so that there's not a situation where you end up with too much of an accrual to disadvantage them. But this seemed to be an adequate way to.
Instead of a monthly retainer, when you use it or lose it during a month, leave money laying on the table or not, and then start of the next month, 30 days later, you move forward. As we talked about this, as repeating what Ms. Delbridge said, willing to do this, we will pay them on a cash flow basis monthly, but that the retainer will actually be, if you want to call it reconciled, although those hours carry forward, that's a quarterly clearing of the account.
Right.
And again, looking at the use patterns that we have had in the past year, projecting the future is always a dangerous thing. But if we have a use pattern consistent with what we have seen the past couple of years, I do not believe we are going to be particularly at risk of leaving any money laying on the table with the quarterly retainer. Although when we were back at the monthly, and I think it's fair to say the monthly retainer, we were at risk of leaving some money on the table a couple of times, but that out of goodwill and grace, Analytica was willing to roll, even though it wasn't in the contract, they rolled some hours forward from unused hours from one month to the next, which is what got us to the quarterly reconciliation of the retainer.
I appreciate the negotiation on that point. Second, briefly, I concur with Senator Stedman in his earlier comments, and the last thing I'll just say is two quick ones, is that Analytica, you know, I read a lot on oil and gas. I read it every day. They're getting quoted in other publications, you know. So they're a known commodity. I like them personally. I think they're good. And when we're dealing with what you just paraphrased earlier, a project of this size, and now that we're kind of wearing two hats, we're also an interest working partner, but we're also the board of directors. I like a big tent with all the knowledge I can get.
And thank you very much, Senator Bishop. Senator Giesel, Representative Thompson, sir, and then Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So following up with Senator Bishop's comments, certainly Analytica, the two members of that organization have been with us for a long time. So getting up to speed isn't a problem with them, so I appreciate that. My concern is, what if we have a need over that 10 days? I realize we've got to carry forward, but our 30-day session and potentially additional sessions can be pretty intense. What's the likelihood of exceeding what we are retaining them for?
Senator Giesel, through the chair, that's a good question. The not-to-exceed contract amount of $400,000 should, based on our past use history, should be more than adequate to take care of that. If they go beyond the 10 days work, for example, if they spend 5 days working on a report and then spend another 10 days here in Juneau testifying before your committee and others, then they are billed at a daily rate beyond that.
And that rate is?
$3,000 per day.
Three.
Would you repeat that, please?
Yes, sir. $3,000 per day.
So follow-up question or expression of concern. We don't have a copy of this contract that we're being asked to approve. This is of concern to me. Thank you.
And I would say to that, there's been a very long-standing process here. If you authorize the chair to negotiate a contract, which they do, they go out, and then they've executed it with the not-to-exceeds. If you wish to have the specific contract brought before you, it will necessitate, because that is in process of being negotiated with legal between the attorneys for Analytica and legal right now, and the contract itself is not completed, but it's into the ministerial aspects. Ms. Delbridge.
Representative Hawker, Mr. Chairman, to update on that, we are this close with legal. Obviously, there's a lot of back and forth between their lawyers and our legal department, and nearly all of the contract is complete. Nothing remains at this point to be negotiated. There's a little bit of cleanup in one sentence that is not making clear sense necessarily to anyone. Fairly immaterial change, but
thank you, and I appreciate that there has to be some legal review. Nevertheless, if we're called upon to agree to this contract today, I would like to have read it first. Thank you.
You can vote against the motion if you would prefer not to approve this today. I mean, that's the point. I would say that is, I have never, 14 years on this committee, I have never seen this committee get into the specifics of contract negotiations, but if you would like to, we certainly can indulge you, ma'am. Senator, or Representative Thompson, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up where Senator Giesel is going, Senator Bishop and Senator Stedman also, I really think that they're probably some of the best in the world. I really think that we're going to have questions that we need answered this year, so I'm kind of going along with that, but I don't need to see the contract, but I want to just make sure on a couple of specifics. The $3,000 per day, is that each? So it's $6,000 a day?
Representative Thompson, through the chair, per the prior contracts, the terms are exactly the same. So yes, $3,000 per day. Travel is at half of that.
Per person?
Per person. Okay, so it would be $6,000 a day for the two?
If both are required, yes.
Right. We could end up with just one, though. Okay.
Representative Thompson, through the chair, that would depend on the nature of the specific request and what was needed.
Is there expenses above the contract price? Airfares and things?
Representative Thompson, through the chair, reasonable travel expenses are also reimbursed. We reimburse for the airfare, for lodging, and then per diem for meals. Those are included in the overall not-to-exceed cap on the contract, but they are not included in their day rate.
And what's the what's the not-to-exceed cap?
Representative Thompson, through the chair, the not-to-exceed cap is $400,000. We took the $200,000 each and combined it into one.
Okay. For this year, there is no change in the not-to-exceed number. And as we've dealt with this in many years past, when things have heated up and we've had to go beyond, it has to come back before the committee to continue or extend a contract.
Thank you. Thank you.
Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Delbridge, can you let me know, you indicated that we're keeping Analytica on as a retainer, and I do think they provide good advice for the state, just kind of trying to get a sense on what we're providing for them. Does Analytica have any other clients besides the state of Alaska?
Representative Keto, through the chairman, not to my knowledge. I do believe that they may be online, however, and more able to answer that currently for themselves.
Okay, thank you. And I guess we are paying for 5 days each for them, so we're paying for a quarter of a month, but we are anticipating that they're available full-time for us. Is that the purpose of the retainer?
Representative Keto, through the chair, the retainer, no, not exactly. The retainer keeps them under contract to the legislature, and to date they've been very responsive in those needs. Depending on our needs in the building, your needs in committees, they have made themselves available absolutely.
And as a ministerial matter, this is why those of us that have sat at this chair who have to administrate these contracts in front of the legislature are always asking committee chairs who have needs to give us advance notice so that we can work with the consultants and give them the advance notice so they can keep their calendars, make their calendars available for us. And we've run into a couple of binds with Janik and Nikos in the past, but they have always been able to adjust their schedule and meet our committee requirements here in the short time we're in the legislature. I think the record would show that I can't think of any time that we were prevented from doing work we needed or wanted to do for their inability to be present. And we move forward here. I'd also note for the record, Mr. Secretary, that Representative Pruitt, Representative Olson, and Senator Hoffman have got here very shortly after we started this meeting and have been here for the dialogue. So thank you, Mr. Secretary. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just, thinking back, because this goes back quite a few years, and for those watching at home, you may want to give them a little bit of history on the consultants, because there's when we get into this international arena dealing with mega projects and gas proposals. If it's,
I ask you to give that bit of history.
Well, I could give it a shot. It's a very small marketplace, and a lot of the firms that, as we've contacted them over the years and wanted them to work on our project here in Alaska, were conflicted out. They already had pre-existing arrangements with the majors involved in Alaska, or, other conflicts. So we had, challenges keeping our toolbox full. And it's a competitive marketplace, and if you could tie up the consultants and your competitor doesn't have the breadth and depth of help that he really needs in the analytical end, but you had an advantage. And quite frankly, Alaska's at a disadvantage, because we don't do this full-time, and our sole existence isn't oil and gas like some of the other companies. So we don't have, a smorgasbord of consultants we can just dial up and have them beat down our door. These two individuals came out of a previous firm that we had hired that was merged into another one, and they started their own, as I recall, and they can possibly talk about that at some point.
That was PFC. Consultants. Mm-hmm. PFC had been independent, and they were incredibly qualified firm, but they were one of the few firms we were able to identify that was not conflicted out. Mm-hmm. And then through the purchase, or their merger with another firm, that firm itself became conflicted, and in that reorganization, any number of folks, you merge companies, some people go their own ways, and the Analytica folks, Mr. Mayer and Mr. Tsafos at that time, left PFC, started their own firm, doing literally international work in the oil and gas economic consulting arena here. And we were fortunate to be able to continue with them, as they had been the folks assigned for PFC to the Alaska legislature's account. Pardon me, ma'am. I wasn't sure if you were pointing over someone over here talking or for yourself. Vice Chair McKinnon, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was actually the Chairman of Legislative Budget and Audit during that transition time where we talked to the incoming partners that purchased PFC Energy. And in the end, back to reflecting on Senator Stedman's comments, it was more important to them to retain the contracts with the big three than to have the contract individually with the state of Alaska. And so they chose what the mother company had for their client portfolio versus the PFC agreement with us. And so after that merger was complete, we had to sever those connections. We did try to reach out into the market to a variety of different folks that of names of which this committee or members of this committee may have forwarded to us as we searched for someone new. In the end, two members from the PFC team broke off on their own, approached us, and here we are today with the same two people that had represented Alaska before. So there is a history that has been valuable for Analytica, as they're known today, to benefit Alaska. They have been very professional in their approach. The state of Alaska tried to provide us, I believe, provided us with information to base decisions on that were as political free as the legislature makes it. And so I just would give the nod to the chairman. We experience the same issue. It's difficult to get contracts to individual members when you're working between our legal department and another legal team, and it's always right at the first part of January that these contracts are expiring. So it makes it difficult in the two-week time period that the legislature actually convenes if you haven't had multiple meetings prior in December and the November time period to actually have it done beforehand. But I understand the challenge, Mr. Chairman. I'll support this going forward. I believe those contracts are available to all members to ensure that they're consistent with what Ms. Delbridge has given us today. They'll be available to us. The not-to-exceed amount is within the standard parameters of what we'd issued before. I would note for the chairman that Senator Stedman provides a valuable comment that our bench is light in the sense that looking at an Alaska LNG project that we may need to consider other contracts to provide additional information. And with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am, and I agree with you completely there. I think it's a good time to note as well that now that we've got a bit with having discussed the historic dialogue here, the historic process, the procurement of these specialized contractors in a very specialized environment, in one where there are really so few, it's really a very limited field out there, as Senator Stedman mentioned. This committee, when it first hired or engaged with Janica Nikos after discussing and researching what the alternatives might be, did, in working with legislative legal, determine that it was an appropriate a contract to be secured without the, you know, full formal solicitation, RFP, and award process because of the unique services, the unique knowledge of theirs with the state of Alaska and the, again, very limited number of folks out there where you're really looking for quality, and that is the priority. We're not buying a fleet of police cars. So as we get to it here, the contract renewal motion will note that this contract is exempt from the solicitation and contract award requirements of legislative procurement, but it is, in fact, in compliance with the provisions of legislative procurement. That we will go to Representative Thompson and then Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to I'm in favor of this contract, but I just wanted to make sure I understand how many dollars I'm voting on. I heard stated earlier, Mr. Delbridge said it was $20,000 each per month. Or was that $20,000 per month? But then later I heard it would be the contract would not exceed $400,000. So I assume that that means that it's $20,000 each per month.
Representative Thompson, through the chair, Actually, it is $20,000 to Analytica, one payment of $20,000 to Analytica per month. The not-to-exceed amount is, in fact, greater than that, and it would cover the reimbursable travel expenses that we work with the Legislative Audit Department very closely on. And it also includes any of those additional days, as I believe Senator Giesel had mentioned, what happens if we go over the allocated days that come with the retainer. So there's that cushion built in. That is reflective of the same amount that was in the previous contracts, which has served well as a dollar value on these contracts over the past couple of years.
I'll just again reiterating from the chair, you're absolutely correct. It is the former pair, the individual contracts were $10,000 apiece. Now that it's been through a novation into, and there's where the confusion comes in.
Yes, it did.
We've conducted a novation, which basically merged the two contracts together, and it doubled the $10,000 each became $20,000 for the firm, which includes both individuals at a not to, the proposal will be $20,000 per month retainer for the firm, not to exceed in total. You are today voting to authorize a contract that could, if we use all the money, spend $400,000.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was my follow-up question, was going to be if the $400,000 included all of the extra expenses for travel and room and everything. So, thank you. You answered my question.
Thank you very kindly, sir. Representative Keto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do agree they provide a valuable for service for the state of Alaska. I'm just thinking with our current budget times, we do need to be very careful about how we're moving forward when we're asking everybody else in the state to scale back. Did we make an effort to try and negotiate a lower fee, considering we are their only contract? And is there a concern that they will go out as a company and work for somebody else? It seems as if they were working for another company as partners in that company. I don't believe or I don't think that we would have been their only work. So I'm just wondering, as a company, it seems like with only 5 days of obligation a month, that they would be out trying to find other work. And are we competing with that? It doesn't sound like it, so it seems like there might be an opportunity for us in our current budget situation to sit down with them and negotiate a lower fee, because we are saying to everybody else in the state can't afford to pay as much. So more of a comment.
And has a response.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Keto, I do not believe that we are Analytica's only contract. First, that they're a corporation. They've been out soliciting work. They've been in business for over a year, 2 years now, I believe. So we're not their only business. The chairman actually did negotiate a better agreement. In the original agreement that we crafted, we did not have, 3-4 years ago, we did not have the rolling forward days, and so there has been a compromise on the days. You're absolutely right that we need to be very judicious with any money that we spend. So I appreciate those comments. I don't want to speak on behalf of Ms. Delbridge, but they're out there, as Senator Bishop, I believe, said, working for other folks and being quoted in national magazines. We are not their sole. I mean, we can go check that. I'm trying to look at my staff. We're not their sole employer
and I
anymore.
That is a correct answer. That absolutely is my understanding. And as we've worked with these folks, by committing to the state of Alaska, they do commit to us to be available when we can have them here. Frankly, if they can't perform, that's part of the criteria in talking with consultants, is will they be available or others? That's right. Somebody's pointing out here that one of them, in fact, is the country of Greece. That's right. I do know that. And again, these guys are truly internationally recognized consultants, and for us to what we demand of them, and I can assure you that in the consulting world, the state of Alaska's legislature is one of the most demanding clients there is. And as we've talked to other folks, when we get to talking here about potentially deepening our bench, there's folks that just don't want to work with the legislature because of the unique time demands. Our particular, you will be here when you are going to be here, and it's going to be on our schedule. We cannot accommodate any differences. So, again, we ask a lot. We demand a lot of the people that provide these services to us. And at that end, I think we look at the at what consultants cost. And take a look at the contracts that the administration has signed. We are getting, I think, I believe the state of Alaska's legislature is getting a fair market-driven transaction with these folks. And I guess, let's see, was it Rep. Keto, were you next on that one again? Senator Stedman.
If I can go back to memory lane just a little bit further. There were some problems with ACES, and we can all debate what they were. But there were some disadvantages that competitive disadvantages embedded in that system. And it needed to be reviewed and possibly restructured. And we set out through LBNA to try to deal with that situation and try to find consultants. And all we kept running into was firms that were conflicted out. And I was working, or I should say the chairman and myself were working at the time together. We went through and identified some mechanical problems within ACES. We can all sit around the table and argue the politics of it and the policy, but there was definitely some issues embedded in there that needed to be rectified. But we had difficulty finding a consultant firm because of the majors tying them up along with the administration, and we came into and located PFC, and they cleared it to their clients, and we secured PFC and started that process of a review of the ACES structure before it even came forward in a bill mechanism or for public debate. You know, what's wrong with that, our structure or difficulties? Then, as mentioned a little later, you know, time went on. One of the other competitors bought PFC. These two individuals were doing the background work for the state. They were not the initial interface people that Chairman Hawker and myself met with several times as we walked through this and before they set out on their extensive review and to draw their conclusions of you know, what we're dealing with. But I'm concerned about the dollars that these contracts cost us, but they're pittance compared to what we could face if we walk into these negotiations with no consultants at all. We've had consultants stripped from us from the administration through politically tactful maneuvers, sometimes induced by our own members of this committee over the years. So I think we need to be protective of our consultant team and build a consultant team to help us make the best policy decision. And those are big numbers. There's no doubt about that. And that's why I think later in the meeting we should have a discussion of broadening the team to have some less expensive folks to call on when we don't need an international viewpoint and global market positioning of a gas structure, but more of the mechanics of what we're dealing with. So there's more to that to come after this discussion. But I just thought I'd put that on the table because these guys just didn't show up out of the air flying by Juneau in a jet looking for work.
And again, thank you, Senator Stedman. Senator Hoffman, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I might have missed it, but were there any renewal options or extension options in this contract?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, I don't believe so. I believe it simply is a year-long contract that the legislature can't discuss reviewing it at the end of.
I will. Yes, Senator Hoffman, there were no renewal options in the first contract. There are no renewal options in the current contract. It is, in fact, simply a one-year contract extension that will necessarily be renewed again a year from now if they are still needed, if we're still having these conversations.
That's our business. We'll still be needing them. Thank you.
Don't give them ideas, sir. if that's covers a conversation that needs to be had here amongst the committee members, a motion would be in order. Madam Vice, Senator Giesel, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If this is the end of the discussion, I just want to make a comment. I really have enjoyed working with Analytica. I fully support re-engaging them. I look forward to working for them again. Further, I completely understand that this institution has some procedures that have been followed historically. But I'm listening to us all ask questions about this contract, and it is my responsibility to read what I'm voting yes on before I vote yes on it. And so I will be a no vote because I have not read this contract. With all due respect, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Giesel, I respect your opinion. Thank you. So, Madam Vice Chair.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the chair of the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee be authorized to enter into a contract with Analytica Incorporated at a cost not to exceed $400,000. The contract will be exempt from the solicitation and contract award requirements of the legislative procurement procedures.
So the question before the committee is entering into a contract that will reauthorize the engagement of Analytica at an aggregate cost not to exceed $400,000 in accordance with the broader conversation and in terms as we've discussed in the broader conversation here in the meeting today. Is there objection?
I have one question.
There is objection.
No, not objection. The question, the term, again, I don't think you...
Mr. Chairman, I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The terms are...
No, the time
it's a
term.
The aggregate contract is a not to exceed 400. Mrs. Delbridge, would you like to come?
The time frame.
Representative Hawker through the chair. Senator Hoffman, the time frame would start, I believe, February 1st of this year and run through the end of January 2017.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Those are provisions with apologies. So is the objection maintained, Madam Vice Chair?
No.
Is there further objection?
I object, Mr. Chair.
Senator Giesel has objected to the authorizing the chair to enter into contract with Analytica. That will bring it before us for a vote. Mr. Secretary, sir.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senator Giesel.
No.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Kelly. Senator McKinnon.
Yes.
Representative Kito.
Yes.
Representative Olson.
Yes.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Pruitt.
Yes.
Representative Newman. Chair Hawker.
Yes.
9 yeas, 1 nay.
So on a vote of 9 yeas and 1 nay, we will be moving forward and entering into the contract with Analytica. That contract, as soon as it is completed, will be available as a public document to everyone in the state of Alaska. And out of consideration to Senator Giesel, Senator Giesel, I will bring you a copy of that contract before it is signed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the discussion that we've had. And with that said, I would ask that your team, I was an incoming LBNA chairman for the first time, and the gavel will change back to the Senate during the next legislative cycle. And so I hope that in the closing months of 2016, that this committee enters into a contract if we think we need to retain the bench, and that we approve that so that we do have the time to have that contract available to the committee prior. I understand why people would want to look at it. I would say, though, that Chairman Hawker was before me, and so he had already done that, and I would say that I wondered why that wasn't left for me, and now I know. You know, it's difficult to get done in the first days of session when you're trying to go forward. So I just want to thank the chairman for a new LBNA chair when I was coming in, that was already done. I didn't see the advantage at that particular point when I took the gavel, but it does create next to impossibility to have all the information that your committee needs at a particular point in time. So thank you.
Point noted, and I frankly I would be very put that on a tickler, please, if you would, my staff. Again, for the reasons you've stated, it is probably a very appropriate thing. And this coming fall, I think we will know where we stand on what the future is going to look like for you all.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just as a new incoming chairman, you don't get to GNO till the third week of the month, and the contract is expiring at the end. So, again, the legislature and this committee specifically has been very conscientious about not entering into a contract that's too long. So we've been doing 1 year to make sure that we're going to utilize those services. So, you know, that is the reason that we have a duration of a contract for a year. But it does present challenges if there's someone new taking the gavel and that it's changing. So thank you.
And so thank you very much. Nice enough, as an aside, while we're both all taking this trip down memory lane, it's been a fun couple, you know, 4 or 5 years, 6 years working with you, trading this job back and forth.
It's a difficult job.
But I'd like to, we are time constrained today, and I will be gaveling this meeting out at 8:30 as everybody has their commitments in the building. And I probably have someone else lined up to use this room at 8:30. So I would like to start the dialogue here, knowing that we will need to come back and conclude it on what additional resources might be essential to the legislature as we move forward with dealing with legislation that is before us and will be becoming for us this year regarding oil and gas fiscal systems, and then the elephant in the room, or the elephant that's not quite in the room yet, but that is going to get dropped upon us in a serious hurry if the governor is correct when he said that he is insisting and demanding that the entire AKLNG project be papered and those papers be delivered to the legislature by the end of the 90-day session, and we are to be acting upon them in an immediately called special session. Senator Stedman, I know I've got two different directions I'm hearing going here, and I really want to kind of start to explore this. One is Senator Stedman's point about, I'm going to call it, you know, other resources that are on call that are not as expensive, but they can satisfy our needs for modeling and technical work. In the past, we've had a couple of folks on tap for that. As the chair, we have typically done that level of procurement on what we can do with a chair's authority with the concurrence of the knowledge of the committee to, you know, get people on stage. We've had Mr. Roger Marks, former State Petroleum economist, who's a lot of experience in this. So, Senator Stedman, I absolutely would solicit your suggestions here in the meeting for resources we might want to look at engaging on that to handle more routine matters for the legislature, and emphasize the contracts are administrated by this committee, but it's work really on call by individual legislators with always deference to committee chairs and the committee chairs who are chairing committees who have a bill in their jurisdiction. Secondly, Senator Giesel pointed out, this is the other end of this, really the much more challenging end to me, is we are facing a decision in this legislature where we're going to get probably a pile of paper, who knows, it will literally be feet thick, dropped on us, which is the entire document package for the AKLNG project. If the governor has his way, we're going to get that dropped on us by the end of the 90 days. But whenever it gets here, we need to be prepared. I would posture that I don't think any of us individual legislators really have the experience in the complete value chain of literally one of the largest economic development projects in the history of the world in a very competitive environment is in the full value chain of LNG marketing. I think it's my opinion that the legislature really needs an additional resource at a very high level of nature that has someone who has had a successful experience and successful practice, not just talked about it, but a successful practice in consulting for a sovereign in the development of a complete value chain and someone that can understand the entire business transaction that gets brought before us. So I've got two levels of conversation I want to go here, and I think the issue of a significant contract needs to be considered by this committee and how we might go about that in the environment we're in. But Senator Stedman, I would ask you first to, if you could, you know, put on the record and talk to us a little bit about your perceived need for more of the support for the routine activities, and if you have anyone that you would like to suggest that we pursue here.
The routine and the mundane process that we go through.
Respectfully, it's not mundane. It's routine, but it's not mundane.
To some of us, maybe. But we get new members every 2 years in here, and there's quite a learning curve. And it's easy to forget about that, I guess, is you know, your longevity increases and things become, you know, blatantly obvious to you after a few years. But when you first walk in the door, it's a complicated system. And the price that of the contract that we just talked about is significant. And, you know, I don't want to use those, personally, those consultants for the, you know, the what I'd look at more of the day-to-day operations and the mechanical process. So I think we should give that to consideration. We used to use a fellow named Dan Dickinson for a few years as one. He's off doing other things, I'm sure, but just, you know, as an example. But as a current point, because the confusion or the questions materialize from year to year. This year, you look in the revenue source book, pages 77 and 78, dealing with credits. It's confidential. And then they're lumped together, commingled, and a total given. Well, when we set a policy and it has a cost to it, or even if it doesn't, quite frankly, but when we set a policy, we need to be able to go back and review it to see how effective it is or isn't. And when we can't get the information because it's confidential and we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, that's a problem, policy-wise, in my opinion. And that's just a current example to help us through some of that stuff. It's difficult, you know, as we go forward and we increase the complexity of our system, and as we go through with this gas, we're going to then have a whole nother fiscal structure to embed over into the current one, whatever that current status is at the time. And I think it's beneficial to the public policy arena that the members of the legislature understand the process, mechanical process, as much as possible. Some of us work through it and we have an easier time with it than others. Some people maybe don't even care, don't even want to look at it. But I get concerned when I open up the revenue source book and all I see is a bunch of stars. And the, it's not that revenue is hiding numbers from us. It's our own statutes and our own processes sometimes that hinder ourselves. So it's nothing negative heading to their direction. But, you know, that's just a kind of a current example. And then I think something else to just to reiterate, to keep in mind, when we have new members, I think it's beneficial for them to understand at least a rough layout of our tax structure. And I've sat in many, many meetings and watched people's eyes go in circles over it as we've walked through and tried to get a good understanding of how it works, and when you plug something into it, push one lever, you know, what's the outcome? Sometimes you push one lever and you got two or three different outcomes or what have you. And sometimes we make a policy change and we don't even anticipate the outcome until a couple years later, when retrospect, when we go back and review it, and we're all kind of surprised at the table.
Well, in the interest of time here, as Senator Stedman, I'm more than happy to spend any time you'd like to get together and talk about potential resources, and want to recommend let's get together, and if we need to bring them back to the committee, we will. And frankly, if we can get folks on as a signature kind, which, for example, we had Roger Marks and Bill Barron both for that type of work at the request of Senate Resources when we went into special session for the TransCanada buyout. No. That worked out. We did not need their resources, but we had them available on standby contract should they have been needed to be called by the resources committees. Rep. Keto.
Mr. Chairman, very briefly, I don't want to add a third level of review, I think, but it is important, I think, to note that we do have the largest proposed engineering project in the world right now, that's sitting at our doorstep. And it may be worthwhile to have a little bit of due diligence on the technical aspects of the engineering of the project to make sure that the proposed cost of the project is what the AKLNG staff are proposing. So I guess we're looking at a $45 to $65 billion project. We should be really sure that we're sure that that's the cost.
Senator McKinnon, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there are many areas that we need to look at. Engineering in a priority level might be lower on my radar screen only because we have three partners that are actually pushing each other for lower costs. And so anything that they have would, you know, I'm not opposed to it, but if we have to prioritize our look at these things, and in reflection of the governor's letter, I'm concerned with the gas sales agreement. I think Senator Steadman, Chairman Giesel, you know, when we look at those are areas that we may not have any kinds of expertise to be looking at, and certainly Analytica can give us a perspective. It's always nice to have those backed up. And then there's the financing realm of, we found it incredibly difficult when I was LBNA chairman to find someone on the financial side of the house, and the administration, the previous administration had trouble finding someone to do the financials if we're going to have to finance the project. So I would just throw out that maybe we should look at categories. So if engineering is one of them, you know, engineering is one of them, but let's look at the categories, because I think the expertise is more than just one particular field, and that we probably need to reach out to both the AKLNG project, maybe former members of the AKLNG board of directors that aren't with us any longer that actually worked on successful projects, as our chairman suggested, and they might be able to find somewhere in the world that we can locate someone that isn't conflicted out that could come to help us.
You've segued, Madam Vice Chair, right into something that we are prepared to talk a little bit about here, because this is not a new thought to us. You know, those of us that have been thinking about this for, what, Senator Hoffman, how long have you been here?
A few years.
Yeah, a few years. I think we all recognize exactly the needs you brought up there. And over the course of the summer here, my staff and myself have been anticipating this conversation, and I agree with you. I tell you what, when we started looking at potential resources, as Senator Steadman emphasized, and you just did, there are very few qualified resources for us that are not – there are some great resources, but they all work for ExxonMobil. And that just isn't going to work with the legislature. And I'm going to run this meeting around – Ms. Delbridge, I'd like to not go any longer than 5 minutes at this time. But could you frame the conversation we've been having and wanted to offer, to try to encapsulate some of what we've all been saying about the need for support to understand the full value chain transaction and the direction that we'd recommend that the committee take a look at?
Representative Hawker, Chairman Hawker, of course, for the record, Rena Delbridge, staff to Representative Hawker. I have here a matrix that the state delivered to the legislature at the end of the special session. There are 24 different agreements that are currently underway that will essentially comprise, at that point, the AKLNG package, the project enabling agreements. That ranges from the commercial and the governance agreements to things like a PILT so on. As I think a number of people on your committee have just pointed out, each of these individually raises sort of concerns, commercial agreements or financing. Our understanding is that it's going to be critical for the legislature to not just look at the terms encased in each agreement, but to fully understand how those terms interface with the terms in other agreements that are associated, and cumulatively as a package, how those terms overall create a project that you can then determine whether or not it is, in fact, still in the state's best interest, and perhaps from the chairman's perspective, most importantly, whether or not it retains the full value proposition that drove the state to become a participant in the AKLNG project to start with. So to that end, Representative Hawker tasked me with looking at the world of professional firms out there that we might be able to draw from for those kind of consulting services to review that entire suite of project enabling agreements. We understood that there might be little time for review before a special session upon which the legislature is called upon to review, understand, and act upon this package. We understand that those contracts are already going to be negotiated, that there is not necessarily a seat at the table for the legislature in that, but that the due diligence to ensure the final deliverable is as understood will be very important.
This is critical for us to keep in mind. We, the legislature, are not negotiators in this transaction. We are, our only role is to understand the transaction and approve the necessary critical documents to move it forward. And respectfully, there's a big difference between us being a negotiator at the table in structuring the agreements and opposed to understanding, reviewing, and passing judgment on them. So excuse me for embellishing on that.
Of course, Mr. Chairman. So I undertook an initial sort of search and tried to understand what sorts of contractors might be out there that have experience, integrated project experience, people that can bring resources to bear on the entire value chain, reviewing upstream supply agreements, marketing structure agreements, new infrastructure agreements, everything from the reservoir down through the sales. People that can look at the fiscal situation, the governance agreements, the financing proposals, people that are willing to put strength in an A-team behind this kind of a review of due diligence when they haven't been negotiating these contracts. Firms that are willing to work in the public realm, which you all work in, to provide written and verbal testimony that is within the public arena so that everyone can understand. And, of course, that are free of those conflicts that we've all discussed already. And much as with the oil and gas tax systems, the field's small. I narrowed it down to look in depth at about 12 different firms online. Most of them, I'm afraid, are lacking some of that entire value chain expertise that we're perhaps looking for. Many are very strong in a lower 48-style LNG framework where they're engrossed in the FERC process, the regulatory process, the permitting process, but don't have that experience actually negotiating or participating in the full suite of agreements for a project sponsor. A number of others have taken strictly a review of a project on behalf of a potential lender or on behalf of a potential buyer. And again, while that might be very valuable, that's not on behalf of a project sponsor that has some of the very unique interests vested in the outcomes that perhaps the state does. To that end, we've identified two strong candidates, and I've had verbal conversations with both of them. They are certainly interested. There was a third that had a potential conflict that turned into a conflict that they can't navigate through to continue talking with us.
And which really brings us to, that was very well done. I have 50 seconds left in my 5 minutes here. But what we would like to do, again, with the committee's indulgence, is reconvene this committee sometime in the very near future to follow up on this conversation. Certainly like to take it into, an executive session to talk about the specific folks that we have identified that are interested and see if, and really talk much more in depth about the entire suite of folks we've looked at, take more direction from this committee, and determine what the committee's will is as far as procuring additional support for this project. And I would emphasize that you can take a look at the contracts that the administration has signed, such as, Milbank, their sort of prime structuring persons. It's a $2 million contract over 2 years just to guide the administration and develop, and that's just one of their many, many, many contractors involved in this. Now, and emphasize, and I get it right, I am not suggesting spending $10 million here, and I've got the guy behind you. We are not talking about spending millions of dollars and having an entire suite of people redoing everything the administration does, but we still need someone, and it's going to be pricey, that can help us take that capstone view from our due diligence perspective on the work that is being done by all of the folks at the shared project sponsors here. So that was, I'd ask quickly, is there any other business to be brought before the committee? But we'll work with everyone to take this conversation to the next level sometime in the very near future. Hearing see none, we'll stand adjourned. Thank you all.